Zayin Amid Beis 34, or 17b4, where...
Rava now continues.
Okay, just to go back really a few lines before that. Rava said that a goy inherits his father biblically. Okay? Just by Jews, a son inherits a father. By goyim, a son inherits a father. And he quoted a pasuk. It says, "V'chishav im kaneu," that you have to reckon with the one that bought it, meaning, and not with the yorshim, the Brisa says. So the fact that the Torah says you have to reckon with the buyer and not with his kids shows that technically there are kids that could be heirs, but the Torah says you don't reckon with the kids. So now the Gemara Rava continues and says like this. What happens if a guy inherits his father who became Jewish? A guy became Jewish and his kids were, let's say, older. They didn't want to become Jewish. Okay? So biologically it's his father. Halachically it's not. So, concerning an idol worshipper to inherit his father who converted to Yiddishkeit, or get a saged, if a father and a son both converted after the kid was born. Right? So now the father and the kid technically are not related, because a ger is a newborn baby. Right? So if a father, let's say, a father was a guy, he married a guy, they had a kid a guy, right? Then he converted and the kid converted. So technically it's not father and son, halachically. Biologically it is, but halachically it's not. So then the Gemara says, Rava says, Eina, there's no inheritance, lo medivrei Torah, v'lo medivrei Sefer, not rabbinically, not biblically. Finished. They're not related, and they're not inherited. Nothing. It becomes free for all. The Tanan, no, because it says in the Mishnah, or Brais, the two opinions over here, Lava Moris Min Aged, what happens if somebody borrowed money from Aged, Shen is Gaido Banav Imer, that his kids converted with him. Okay? In other words, somebody borrows money from a guy who converted and has kids who converted. Right? Mm-hmm. Now the father died. Mm-hmm. Now normally when you borrow money and the person died, you have to give it to the heirs. Mm-hmm. Right? So it says, Layachzel Labanav, you shouldn't give it back to the kids. The question, why not? So we see from there that the kid doesn't inherit the father. He's not an heir. If he's not an heir, then you don't give it to the kids. And not only that, the Gemara goes even a step further. The Braisa, the Mishnah says, if he did give it back, the Chachamim were not happy with him. Okay? In other words, there's not even a claim from the kid to the father. So what do you see from that Braisa or Mishnah? That a kid, a guy who converted, and his kids converted, they don't inherit one another, and that's it. So right away, parenthetically, the Gemara says, "Vatani b'nebrais," it says, "Ruach hachamim neicheimenu," that the chachamim were happy if you returned it. Here we're saying you don't have to, and if you did, your chachamim aren't happy. And another brais it says they were happy if you returned it. So Gemara says, "Leikashim." It's not a question. It's not a contradiction. Kan hirasi v'leidasa shle b'kedusha. One case is speaking when he was conceived and born as a guy, and then converted. One is, his conception was not as a Jew, and he was born as a Jew. Okay? This means like this. The halacha is, what happens if a man made a woman pregnant, she was not Jewish. Okay? And before the baby was born, she converted. Otherwise, it's not a conversion. Okay? So in other words, a woman, sometimes you have a case, the woman was, the baby was conceived as a guy, born as a guy, and later the kid converted. You have another case, the kid was conceived when she was still a shiksa, then she converted, and then the kid was born. Okay. So the kid was born, it's called B'Kedusha. She was conceived, not B'Kedusha, but he was born B'Kedusha. By the way, the din is,
the kid is automatically a Jew, but a convert. That's the din of a get. In other words, what it means is the mother's conversion was a conversion for the kid also, but he's considered a convert. So the way Rashi learns, even Tosfos learns just the opposite, but Rashi over here learns like this. In a case where the kid was born a guy, and then later converted, over there the Chachamim say, if you borrow money from the father, don't give it back to the kid. And if you did, we're unhappy with the fact that you gave it to the kid. But if a kid was conceived b'gedusha, shelo b'gedusha, when she was a shiksa, and the kid was born after she converted, so then the Chacham say it's good to give it back, because he was still born a little Jewish, you know?
But that kid can't marry a daughter, she can't marry a Cohen, right?
Correct. She has a din of a geirus.
Yeah.
Or he has a din of a ger.
What should they do in order to inherit? There's nothing they
can do. There's nothing they could do. The only way he could do it is give it a gift before he dies. But in other words, what Rav is saying, though, is, which is interesting, even though a guy inherits his father as a guy, okay, but if the father was a Jew and the kid was a guy, he doesn't inherit him. What happens if they both gave him, the father converted, and then the kid converted? No inheritance. That's it. Because they're not halachically related.
How about if they live a will?
Again, if they live a will, so if they leave a will in a way that is given as a gift before he dies, then it's not inheritance. Or if there's a will that this is what he wanted, that's what you do. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Rav Chiya bar Abin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rav has said a statement before. We're top of Yud Ches Amid Aleph, second line. Rav has said before, what we discussed and we learned last week, that a guy inherits his father a guy. But he learns that from a pasuk that says, V'chishev im kenehu. You have to reckon with the buyer. Okay? And it says, not with the inheritors of the buyer. So you see that the guy can inherit his father. Rav Chiya bar Abin says the same thing from a different pasuk. Rav Chiya bar Abin Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ev di kachavim yerush yosav dvar teira, a guy inherits his father. Dvar teira, tichsev, it says simply, ki yerusha la'esav, nosati es harseir. Hashem says, I gave inheritance to Esav, harseir. So you see, a guy inherits. So Gemara says, one minute, Esav wasn't a guy. Dilma Yisro Mumeshani. Esav wasn't a guy. Esav had the din of a Jew. So how could you prove from a rebellious Jew who inherits that a guy inherits a rebellious Jew? It's different than a guy. So Gemara says, you're right. A me'ora different pasuk. Ki levnei loit nasati es or Yerusha. The pasuk says in Dvarim, Hashem said, I gave light, the children of light, the city of Or, which was one of the capitals of Moav, as Yerusha. Now light for sure was a guy. Right? But Chlal, it's interesting, the Gemara says, you see from here clearly, that the Gemara says, Esav did not have a din of a guy. If you think about it, Esav was as Jewish as Yaakov. I mean, he came from the same father and mother. Yishmael, the Gemara says, had a din of a guy. Because Yishmael came from Hagar. So he didn't have a din of a Jew, he had a din of a guy. But Esav did not have a din of a guy, he had a din of Yisrael Mumbar, a rebellious Jew. So the first Gemara wanted to say, you bring a proof from Esav, Gemara said, you can't bring a proof from Esav because he was a Jew. So Gemara said, okay, you can bring a proof from Light.
But you're using the term Yerusha here,
right?
It's not a father. It's the same word. It conveys a certain kind of meaning, but you're not really talking about Yerusha in the sense that one understands it for a human being from his father.
Well, here we bring down at the bottom two things. What does it mean, ki Yerusha le'esav nasati asar seir?
One Rashi in Chumash says, Avram gave it to Esav, meaning grandfather to grandson. Another interpretation says, Esav gave it to his kids. And as I gave Esav Har Seir, that Esav could give Yerusha to his kids. Whichever way you want to look at it, it's still a Jew. Because Esav didn't have a din of a guy.
Right. Right.
Eventually, Esav's kids did.
That's not the issue. The issue is whether the meaning of the term Yerusha is the same as applied to a goy inheriting from his father.
But the fact that the Torah uses the word Yerusha means there is a din of Yerusha. There's a concept of inheritance.
It can't be applied in the same word, can't be have more than one.
No, because the Torah uses the word which is a halachic word, Yerusha. The Torah didn't say, I gave it to them. The Torah uses the word Yerusha. The Torah, if the Torah just wanted to say, I gave it to them, the Torah is in the Sati, Le'esav is Harseir, or Livnei Nert, Nasati is Od. You know, I give him the city. The Torah added the word Yerusha, which means the Torah is teaching us a din by this. That by even by a goy, there is a din of Yerusha. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss, Rava learned it out from one pasuk, and Abchiyah ben Abba Amar Rabbi Yechon learns it out from a second pasuk. Like, why can't they learn out from the same pasuk? So Gemara says, Abchiyah ben Abba in my time of Le'ema Kerova, why does Abchiyah ben Abba learn it out from a different pasuk than Rava? He says like this. What's the whole proof? It says in the pasuk of Chishev in Kaneu, you should reckon with the purchaser. Right? That means, what is the Torah excluding? Not his sons. So he says, how do you know that's what the Torah means? The Torah never says heirs which are excluded. The Torah just says, reckon with the purchaser. You know, to redeem the field or whatever. So, you know, you're putting in words as if the Torah is saying, reckon with the purchaser and not with his heirs. But the Torah's not talking about heirs. How do you know that's what the... How do you know the Torah is talking about heirs? Maybe not. So Gemara says, "V'rava, my time alayama k'rabchia barabin." Why didn't Rava learn Rabchia barabin that he brings a proof from light? Right? He says like this: "Mishim kvede davram shani." Maybe I would say like this: really, goyim don't inherit. Why did light inherit? Out of respect to Avram. He's Avram's nephew, you know, the Malachim came to him. So maybe out of respect to Avram, that's why Lot got inheritance. But how do you know every guy gets inheritance? So Rabbi learns it off from a different pasuk. But the bottom line of the Gemara is, now the Gemara is going off completely to the new Gemara, but the bottom line of the Gemara is, everybody says a guy inherits a guy. A ger does not inherit a ger. A ger does not inherit a guy. A goy does not inherit a ger, right? But as far as goy with goy, there is a din of Yerusha. Which means, by the way, it's an interesting halacha, if you owe a goy money and he dies, you have to pay the kid. I mean, it's not hefker. Like we learned before, if you borrow money from a ger, whose kid is a guy, and the ger dies, you don't have to pay the kids. Right? But a guy, you would have to pay back. Because there's a din of Yerusha. Or, I'll give you another example, which can happen, it's not very common. You sell your chametz to a guy, and the guy dies, in the middle of Pesach. Could happen, you know, you sell your chametz to a guy, and the guy just goes during Pesach. So now how do you buy back the chametz? The answer is you have to buy it back from his kids.
If he doesn't have
Yerusha? Then it's hefker anyway, man. That guy will have Yerusha. Okay. Tesis over here brings out an interesting Gemara. Because he learns differently than Rashi, but there's a whole story in the Gemara. There was Iser Giyura. Iser was a ger. There's a whole story in the Gemara. Shmuel, famous Shmuel of the Gemara, had a daughter by the name of Rachel. She was captured by the Goyim, She was raped by a goy, became pregnant, and gave birth to a guy by the name of Mori, who became later in the Gemara Rav Mori Bar Ochel. The father was a goy, so he couldn't come. And later, the father himself converted.
The father who raped the girl
became a frum yid later. Okay? And there's a whole maise that Rava had 13,000 zuz by Rava, and there was a pikadon, and when he died, then Isser died, so Rava said, what do we do with the money? Should we give it to Rav Mori? How can Rav Mori get it? Because... Huh? Yeah, but a ger doesn't inherit a ger.
But he wasn't a ger. Rav Mori wasn't a ger. His mother was Jewish.
Right, but the father was a ger. So it's not his father.
So his father died, and they wanted to know if Rav Mori gets his father's money.
Right, gets the money that Rava was holding for his father. So Rava said a whole thing, how can he get the money? And which means that automatically he shouldn't get it, and but he was all one of them.
Would Rava be the Yorish? Were they married?
No. Mar Baruch Rasa Shlei Begdusha. The Rasi was from the father. Okay, whatever. Anyway, then the Gemara says a new thing. Ton Rabban Rabban Onot. Yud Chesam and Aleph, about 15 lines, no, it means about 10 lines down. Ton Rabban Rabban Onot. Yesh be Ivri, Shem be Ivriya. Now we're going back to Evid Ivri and Alme Ivriya. The Gemara was sidetracked a little bit with the dinam of Yerusha, so Rav said it in about Goyim inheriting and all that. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Yesh be Ivri, Shem be Ivriya. There are certain dinim that apply by a Jewish male slave that doesn't apply by a female Jewish slave. For Yesh be Ivriya, there are laws that apply to an Ami Ivriya that don't apply to an Eved Ivri. What are the dinim? Yesh be Ivri, what are the dinim by an Ivri? A male servant doesn't apply to Ami Ivriya. Yaitze Bishanim, he goes out in 6 years. By Yevil, if Yevil comes. Mises Ha'odin, if the Odin died. If the master died, he goes out free. By a female slave, she doesn't go out. And the Gemara is going to explain what this means, because obviously all these things, she does go out. But the Braisa says she doesn't go out in these cases. V'yesh b'ivri, what is an ivriya? What does an ami ivriya have that the eved ivri doesn't have? Ivriya yaitze b'simonim, she goes out when she reaches puberty, right? V'en nekeres v'nishnes, she cannot be sold twice. Meaning, what happens if a girl was sold at the age of 4? She works 6 years. Now she's free. Can the father sell her again? So the Braisa says she cannot be sold twice.
Or if the master died.
Well, one second. The Gemara is going to discuss all the... But this is the simple meaning. It can be sold twice. And we redeem her against his will. And the Gemara is going to discuss whose will. Okay? Masha'en can be Ivri, these things don't apply by an Eved Ivri. Now the Gemara is going to analyze each case over here. But basically the Gemara says there's certain dinim that apply by an Eved Ivri, not by Ami Ivriya. There's certain dinim that apply Ami Ivriya, and not by an Eved Ivri. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, we just got through saying, Yesh be Ivri, Shem be Ivriya. There's certain laws that apply to Eved Ivri, and not to an Ami Ivriya. What are they? Like, for instance, 6 years and Yevil and all that. But Aminu, I'll ask you a question. You say to all of Ami Ivriya, it says, in addition to all the going out of a male slave, an Ami Ivriya has one more that she goes out to Simonim. Puberty. Right? What did the Braisa that we just learned say? An Eved Ivri goes out 6, Yevil, death.
Of the master.
But Ami Ivriya doesn't. So it says in the Braisa clearly not like that. It says, in addition to all the ways an Eved goes out, an Ami goes out, plus Simonim, when she reaches 12. So what do you mean that she, an eved, what does an eved ivri have that she doesn't? If anything, she has more than him. So Gemara says, Amar, you're right. Amar Rav Shesha says, speaking in a case, Be'yo'ada, when he marries her. If the master marries her, then she doesn't go out in 6 years. She doesn't go out by Yevil. She doesn't go out when the master dies and she's a widow. Or if the kid married her, then even if the father dies, she doesn't go out. She's a married woman. Right? So that's what the Braisa means. The Braisa that says an Eved goes out 6, Yevil, Mises Ha'odon, and an Amah doesn't. You're right, regularly she would go out. Why does the Braisa say she won't go out? It's speaking when he marries her. So Mar says, Yad Pshite, Gita boy, she needs a get. I mean, she's a full-fledged married woman. Right? Of course, she's not Amah anymore, then she's a wife. Sigmar says, Mao the time I would think, Le Levit Le Hilchasamino, that if he marries her, all the dinam of Evet still Amah still remain. In other words, I would think that even if the master marries her, she still goes out after 6 years, or she still goes out in Yovel. I would think that dinam of Amah remain, except she's married, until Yovel comes, 6 years comes, or whatever. Kamashvelan, it tells us, no, that she goes out, never, all the way to get. This is what the Braisa is teaching us. An Eved Ivri, under all circumstances, goes out in 6 years, Yovel, Mises Ha'adon. Right? An Ame Ivri that's married, doesn't.
Married to who's the
master? To the master. She doesn't go out.
Because she's
so there's certain things that an Eved has that an Amah doesn't have. I, of course, is for sure she's a married woman, but I would think it's only a married woman for the duration of what's ever left of the slavery. So teaches us no. So the Gemara says, Hiyachi amay yesa b'simanim. If she's married, why does she go out when she reaches puberty? Then she shouldn't go out. She's a married woman. Why does the Braisa say that an Ami Ivriya goes out by Simonim? If you're talking about she's married, so she doesn't go out. Sigmar says, you're right. Imla Ya'ada, what happens if he didn't marry her? Then not only does she go out like a regular Eved, 6 years, Ya'ivol, she also goes out even with Simonim. In other words, you're right, the Gemara says. If she's married, she doesn't go out unless the guy gives her a get or dies. Okay, but if he didn't marry her, she goes out just like a regular Eved Ivri. In addition to that, she goes out with Simon.
Once she's married, she's not Eved.
No. But that's the halacha. The Gemara, I would think she still stays an Eved, but he's married to her for the duration of whatever's left in the 6 years. So the thing is, no, she's my full-fledged wife, and she goes out free.
Wait.
What?
If she gets married to the master, she doesn't go out, not because she's staying as an abbot. She's staying as a master, as a
wife.
Right.
Right. No.
So why do we call it she's not going out? She's married. That's what.
No, that's what it says. Like, I would think that the dinam of an abbot still remains, and she should still go out. So we say no, she doesn't go out
because she's married.
Right, but that's
not
the.
Not as an abbot.
I would think. I would think, though, that she would go out maybe as an Eved, like an Amah, even though he married her.
But why would you think that?
Because Lepel, he married an Amah.
But then he married her, so.
So maybe.
She's not an Amah anymore.
How do you know that the marriage is only not for the duration of the 6 years?
There's no such thing as just marriage for just 6 years.
Well, you can have marriage for a temporary period of time. If a orphan is married off by the mother, how long is he married for? At bar mitzvah, he could say, I don't want. Right?
She doesn't need
I mean, not she, the girl.
She doesn't need to get
a special no.
case.
So I would think in that when he marries an Amah, I would think, the Gemara says, I would think, there's a possibility to think that the din of Amah still remains. That means he's married to her. He has to give her all the obligations of a husband to a wife. But Lepro, when the slavery is over, maybe she goes out free. So the Torah says, no, she stays like a married woman. That's all. The Gemara is just saying, there's a possibility to think that she would still keep a certain status as an Oma, that she would go out at certain times. What did you want?
I probably know the answer to this. We cannot have a case of a Jewish woman acquiring a male servant, Jewish servant.
No.
That's what I wanted to ask. Can
a woman cannot acquire a male servant.
Mary, can she marry a male servant?
If he cannot acquire them. No.
Can she marry him? Why not?
What happens if she marries him? If an Eved becomes married to a Jewish woman that he's working for?
He's working for her. An Eved Ivri can marry a Jewish girl.
I understand, but if Eved Ivri is working for a guy.
No.
Or for
and who's he getting married to? The guy's wife?
No. Or for a woman.
He can't work for a woman. Eved Ivri can be bought by a woman. There's a problem with Yichud. Chachamon and Chazal are not going to let it.
And if he married the guy's daughter?
So he married the guy's daughter.
He's still an Eved.
Yeah.
I guess my question was if a woman buys her.
You can't buy. I thought you can't buy.
If he's buying the master's daughter, he's free or he's not free?
No. If he's buying, he's marrying, you mean?
Yeah, he's marrying. Yeah, he's marrying the daughter, the master's daughter, right?
No.
And he stays slave, right? Or
yeah, for 6 years. Depends on how long the mother-in-law kills him, keeps him.
You to have son-in-law's slaves.
So?
That's good. This marriage is the agreement of the father, or
no.
The father has nothing to say? But once she becomes an Amma, automatically she has a right to marry her.
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Gemara is going to say that soon. Well, it says in Chumash, but the Gemara is going to discuss this soon. When a father sells his daughter under bas mitzvah as an amma, that automatically gives the master a right to marry the girl without the father's permission. Where's the kedushin money? The money that they bought her for, that it Gemara says count as kedushin. It could be 2 years later, 3 years later, it doesn't matter. Without the father's consent. Because once the father sold her as an Ami Yivriya, it's automatically, the Torah says, you're giving the master the right to marry her. But then, like the Gemara is saying here, yield, she becomes a full-fledged Eishes Ish. Like she stays, like a married woman. She's not a slave anymore, but she remains, a wife forever. Okay, then the Mishnah said, and the Braisa said another case. A female servant cannot be resold, right? Now, if the Braisa says, Elma Ivriya can't be resold, that means an Eved Ivri could be resold. Because what's the Braisa saying? What's the difference between Eved and Amma? An Amma cannot be resold, which means an Eved, good. So Mar said, V'ramino, I'll ask Ratanya, we learned in the Braisa, it says, he can only be sold for the penalty, for the principal, but not for the kefal, not for the double payment. I'll explain in a second. Only for his theft is he sold, but not if he's Edom Zemimin. Meaning, if he was sold once, he can't sell him again. What is the din like this? And the Gemara is going to go a very interesting Gemara now. What happens? A guy steals, you have to pay kefal, double. A ganif, not a gazlan. A ganif has to pay double. So let's say a guy steals something worth $500. A ganif. So now he needs to pay $1,000 back to the owner. Yeah? The Eved is worth $500. No, I'm sorry. The Eved owns $500. But he doesn't own $1,000. Okay? So now the din is, he has to pay back $1,000, right? He can only pay up 500. Can you sell him because he can't pay up the other 500? So the Braisa says, b'gnevasai, he can only be sold for the gneva, not for the kefil. So he can't be sold as a slave because he doesn't have money for the kefil. Number one. Number two, what happens if an evidence, a guy didn't steal? He testified that somebody else stole. And then he became Edom Zaymimin. They disqualified him. And they said, how could you testify you this? You were with us. Imanu Ayisam. So the din is, what's the din? He has to pay what he wanted to obligate. He wanted to make the guy pay $500. He didn't steal. He just testified that the guy stole, and he's a liar, so now he has to pay $500. He doesn't have money. Can he be sold as a slave? The Braisa says no. He can only be sold for stealing, and not for hazama. He can only be sold for gneva, and not for the kefil. Okay? Then the Braisa says a third din, which applies to what the Gemara is asking. The third din of the Braisa is that what Begneva say singular, he can only be sold once. That means, what happens if an Eved, and the Gemara is going to give certain scenarios to it. What happens, let's say, an Eved stole $1,000. This is one scenario. And he's worth 500. Can he be sold twice? 6 years for 500, another 6 years for 500 to make up the 1,000 that he stole. So the Braisa says no. Nimka b'gneva soy, singular, you can only be sold once, not twice.
But he could be sold as a slave twice in his life if he's
still. One second, we don't know yet. One second. The Braisa is saying he can only be sold once. Okay? So this is the Gemara's question. We just got through saying in the Gemara that only an Amma cannot be sold twice, which implies that an Eved Kanani could be sold twice, and this Braisa says clearly it cannot be sold twice. Amr, Avar said like this. Like Kasha, it's not a Kasha. Kam b'gneva achas, one is where he stole once. Kam b'shtei gnevis, and one is when he stole twice. Okay? What does Rava answer? Rava says like this. If a guy stole once $1,000, the case we just said, a guy stole once $1,000, he's only worth 500. Okay? For one Geneva, he has to pay $1,000. He's only worth 500. So the Braisa says, from the Pasuk, Be Geneva soy, he can only be sold once per stealing. But what happens if he stole once $500 and became sold as a slave? And then he stole another $500? Not even after the 6 years. Whatever he did. He stole once $500, once $500, and he's only worth $500. Then he could be sold twice. So because not for one Geneva. In other words, the Gemara is learning, B'Geneva Sai, singular. For one Geneva, you can only be sold once. But if it's two Genevas, meaning, if you stole $1,000 and you're only worth $500, you cannot be sold twice, because you're being sold for the same Geneva twice. But if you stole $500 and $500, then you could be sold twice. That's what Rava answers, according to Rashi at least. Then the Gemara says like this.
This is for theft, but somebody can sell himself more than once.
The Gemara is not discussing that now. The Gemara is not discussing a case if a guy sells himself as a slave, could he do it twice? The Gemara is only talking about Ganef. But Pashtus, because if the Gemara learns out, Venimka Begneva Sei, that means if he wasn't sold because he stole, he sold out of poverty, then he could be sold twice. Because we're learning out from the Pasuk, B'gneva soy, singular, that he can only be sold once. Which means a guy that sold himself out of poverty could be sold twice. Because there's no Pasuk limiting it.
Except if it's a woman.
Well, the Gemara says an Amma can't. Well, an Amma is never sold for stealing. Because an Amma is only a Ketana. A Ketana is not Chayiv for stealing.
It's only if the father sells it.
Yeah, so the father sells it.
And if an Eved is working for is a 6 year period. On the third year, he steals again. He has to first finish the first 6 years and then serve another 6 years for the
diaper. Well, not done with the Gemara yet. Yeah, he might have to be sold twice.
But first
after the 6 years. Yeah.
He has
to finish the 6 years and then he gets sold again. If he can't pay it up. If he can't pay it up, he has to get sold twice.
He can't get a second job. Doing his
no, he works day and night. At night he produces goyim for the master.
And his all rights reserved. Anything he does is for the master.
No, not really.
If he wins the lottery,
he keeps it. And he has to pay the master the schar batola that he went to the store and took off work to buy the lottery ticket.
But if he works... If he does anything else, the master...
No.
The master gets it.
No. If an Eved even walks in the street and finds a diamond, who keeps it?
He keeps it?
Of course he keeps it. If an Eved Kanani walks in the street and finds a diamond, the master gets it.
And if a Jewish wife finds a diamond, it's the husband's.
Well, that you have to be careful with nowadays.
Nowadays is halacha
changed. The halacha changes, the reality changes. If this community property is 50-50.
They find something, so what do you mean it's community property? They find...
If a woman finds something, Alpidin, who gets it? The husband.
Right.
No, Mashu Konsa Isha, Konsa Baila. Why? There's a reason, there's a logic. Because the husband supports her financially, so it's only right any finances that come in through her into the marriage, he gets. What happens if the woman says, don't support me and I keep my things? She has a right to say it. You know, there's a few... It's not Kabbalah. Masha konsa isha konsa baila is not Kabbalah, that whatever a wife acquires, the husband acquires. It's a very simple logic, the Gemara says. He supports you, right? So therefore, any support, financial support that comes into the family goes to... What happens, the Gemara says, if she says, don't support me and I won't work for you? In other words, the Gemara says it's a partnership, right? He has to bring home food, she has to make the food. She has to cook and sew and all the, you know, they didn't have stores in those days. Okay? She has to do all the women's jobs. He has to do the men's jobs of bringing in the money, right? He supports her. Therefore, she has to do certain things for him. Cook, bake, sew, whatever, right? What happens, she says, I don't want this deal. She comes in with a lot of money, and she says, I don't want this deal. Don't support me, and I'm not going to work for you. So the Gemara says, the Rambam brings down that Chacham don't let her do nothing, because when you do nothing, you go meshuggah. So they'll make a work, but not as far as the agreement with the husband goes. Instead, the Chacham will make her do work, but that she shouldn't go crazy.
Like what?
Well, the Mara says he has to do certain the cooking, certain things she has to do. So if a woman walks in the street and finds a very expensive diamond, or finds a, buys a lottery ticket and wins $100 million, obviously, she has a right to tell the husband, you know what? Do me a favor. I don't know you.
They don't have to get divorced for her to say that.
No.
She just says, you know.
I don't work, you don't support me. That's it. She has a right to say it.
and they're still good husband and wife.
Yeah. I mean, in that case, I don't know how long they're going to stay married, but Allah gives to husband and wife. With all the halachas of husband and wife. Okay, anyway, so Amalei Abaye, so Abaye said to him, 1 minute, you're telling me B'gnei Vasai means one. Abaye said, what are you talking about? B'gnei Vasai, in his Gneva, is Tuva Mash could mean even many. Abaye says to Rava, why are you interpreting the word B'gnei Vasai to mean one? And then the Mepharshim give an example. The Torah says the word behema. It means one animal. It means animals. Even though the Torah uses the word behema, right? It means a lot. B'gnei Vasai means in the stealing. If it's one time, many times, many times. So Elam Abaye, Abaye says the Kasha. So therefore, the difference is a different answer. Kamba Adam Echad, Kamba Shnei B'nei Adam. When you steal from one person, you can only be sold once. If you stole from two people, then you could be sold twice. And he argues on Rava, by the way, this is a halachic difference. According to Rava, if you stole twice from the same guy, you could be sold twice. That's what Rava said. If it's one Geneva, you can only be sold once. If it's two Genevas from the same guy, Rava says, you could be sold twice. If you stole 500 and 500, and you're worth 500, you could be sold twice. Abaye says no. Abaye says you can only be sold twice if you stole from two different people. But if you stole twice from the same person, you cannot be resold. An Arma Ivriya can never be resold. So this is what the Braisa says. An Arma Ivriya can never be resold. An Eved sometimes could and sometimes can't. So according to Rava, if you stole twice, even from the same guy, you could be sold twice. But if you stole once and you're not worth that, you can't be sold twice. And Abaye says, no, the only difference is one person, two people. To one person, you can never be sold twice. To two people, you can be sold, twice. Three people, you can be sold three times.
He has to return the money he sold?
No, the whole reason why he sold is because he doesn't have the money.
No, he has to be careful.
But for that, he's not sold. He sold for the principal.
If he went and he bought it, he gave this money that he sold to somebody else, do we go to that third person and say, give it back?
No, because the other person is carrying it. Now the Gemara says another interesting Gemara. Tana Rabbanan learned. What happened? Gneva Elif. What happens if he stole $1,000? Veshava Chamesh Meis. He's only worth 500. Okay, now, forget what we learned just now. This opinion says, Nimkar v'chayzev v'nimkar. He has to be sold twice. Because why? He stole 1,000, he's only worth 500, how's he going to pay back the 1,000? So this opinion says, he gets sold twice. What happens, the reverse? What happened, Gnei v'chamesh meis? What happens if he stole 500, and he's worth 1,000. The din is ein a nimker klal. He cannot be sold at all.
Wow.
This is what this tana holds.
Can he be sold for 3 years?
Huh?
Half the amount?
No.
That would be 500.
The Torah says, in other words, let's see, Rabbi Eliezer, this is the first opinion. Rabbi Eliezer Eimer, Rabbi Lezer says even different. The only time you could be sold is if you stole what you're worth. Not more, not less. The first opinion says, if you stole 1,000, then you're worth 500, you get sold twice. Right? Rabbi Lezer says no. The only time you get sold is if you're worth exactly the amount you stole. If you're not worth, if you're worth more or less, you don't get sold. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Now, Amar Rava, so Rava said,
Bahazakina Rabbelezer Rabbanan. In this, Rabbi says Rabbelezer is right. You know, he says that he paskin basically said this Rabbelezer is more correct than the Chachamim. Why? Why, if he stole 500 and he's worth 1,000, is he not sold? Because the Torah says, "V'nimkar kulei amerachmana." You have to sell all of him and not half of him. Because basically, if he stole 500 and he's worth 1,000, so what are you doing? You're selling half of him, right? The Torah says, "V'nimkar." He has to be sold completely. There's no halves. The same thing. The same thing with Geneva. You have to be sold for the whole Geneva and not for half a Geneva. So therefore, if he stole 1,000 and he's only worth 500, so you're selling him for half the Geneva, he can't do what Rava says. So Rabbi Eliezer is right. And Rava Paskin's like Rabbi Eliezer. That the only time an Eved Ivri, and this, by the way, probably knocks out more than 3/4, huh? 99% of the sellings. Yeah. Because according to him, huh? So if the Ganef is smart, he should steal more than he's worth. Then he wouldn't be sold according to any opinion. No. If he stole more, no, then the Chachamim hold.
Everybody says he cannot be sold.
Everybody says he cannot be sold. If he's less,
only Rabbi Eliezer says.
No. One second. If he steals 1,000, right?
He's worth 500.
Then he can be sold. Huh? It could be sold twice, according to the Chachamim, not according to Rabbi Eliezer. But I'm saying the other way. If he steals 500 and he's worth 1,000, then everybody says he can't sell him. So an Eved should always steal less than he's worth. I mean, not an Eved. A guy, so a professional Ganef would get an appraisal first before he steals how much he's worth. And then he'll steal accordingly.
What if he gets off the hook like this and tomorrow he makes a lot of money?
No, but he still has a chiv to pay back.
Forever.
Okay. Sure. There's no statute of limitation that after a year the debt is off.
It's never off.
No. In Torah law, there's no bankruptcy. In Torah law, there's no... It remains a debt. If you steal from somebody, today, there's no Eved Ivri. Yeah? There's no din Eved Ivri today. Today you steal from somebody $1,000 and you have no money. What's the din?
Eventually,
before you die. If not, the kids have to pay it. Right? But there's still a chiyuv to pay. Here, there's a unique din about being sold because he's... By the way, the din of Eved being sold, what happens if I borrow from somebody $1,000 and I don't have money to pay back? Everybody says you don't get sold as a slave. It's on b'nika b'gnei v'asai. If he stole, then he has to get sold. If he didn't steal... Even if he owes the guy money, he cheated him in business. He borrowed money. Whatever it is, if it's not Geneva, then you don't get sold as a slave. What happens to the money? It's like any time you lend somebody money, you don't pay back money. The guy has a debt, he has to pay it. There's a lien on the property, whatever it may be.
What if he steals something and they catch him after 5 years?
Still has to pay it.
No, but how do you put value in that item?
The Gemara says, "Call agazlonim mishal mikshas egzela." Yeah, that means, let's say 5 years ago, gold was $500 an ounce. Today, gold is $1,000 an ounce plus. And the guy stole 5 years ago an ounce of gold. He pays back $500, not $1,000. That's clear. Call it Gazlan. By the way, it could be in the reverse way too.
Right.
If it was $1,000 5 years ago and $500 today, he has to pay $1,000.
What happened to that time?
Right. Call it Gazlan Mishalmin Kishas Egzela. The Gemara says in Bavakab.
If at the time of Gazela he has rich sons, they don't have to cover for him?
Not until the father dies and they get the estate and they have... No, why should a kid pay for the father's... and if a father...
He's poor and his Yerushim, eventual Yerushim.
They don't have to pay. Why should they pay? Why should, a father stole, the kid should pay? Father damaged somebody, the kid should pay? Why? What?
If he's worth $250...
David.
I'm sorry, he stole $250 and he's worth $500.
No, that's the same $500.
Right, but with kefil, it would be $500.
But he doesn't get sold for kefil.
So you do not consider kefil
in... Kefil is not in the equation, because the Gemara said, B'gnevah sevelei b'kfeilei. Right. So there's no din of selling because of the kefil.
That apply also to somebody's damaged property?
No.
Only stealing.
V'nimka b'gnei vasoi. That's it. Nimka atzmei, by the way, is also not if I owe people money. The din that an eved sells himself if he's broke, right? Kiyomo chachicha v'nimka, whatever. The din is only if he has nothing to eat. The guy has something to eat, but he has debts. He's not allowed to be sold as a slave. The only time a Jew can sell himself is not better than himself. Meicher atzmei is imachu. The Gemara says he has nothing to eat. Bechlal, in the olden times, which normal father, today they would call child abuse, which normal father would sell his 8-year-old kid as a slave? Right? Or which normal father today, I mean, they would call child abuse? Years ago, it was common that a father married off his daughter under bas mitzvah, right? Why did he do it? It was a very simple cheshbon. The father had no money. He couldn't support the kids. Huh?
Less mouth to feed.
Yeah, and let somebody else worry about it to feed her. So it was a richer guy that had money. Otherwise, he couldn't marry her. Yeah? The father said, I don't have the money to support her. Let's marry her off, and somebody else will take care of her. And that's what they used to do. And say, why did he sell her as a slave? Because like this, he couldn't take care of her. This guy will take care of her. And Ami Avidia wasn't a slave. It was like an Avidivity. It was a worker, contracted until 6 years or simonim or whatever it is. So, like, why not? It wasn't abuse. Avidivity wasn't abuse. It was a job that they just worked for 6 years. But...
Can the father sell
a
boy?
No. He can't marry off his son either.
There's only two ways that a man can become an heir.
Stealing or broke. Right.
If he sells himself, he still comes up in 6 years? Or that's the other?
Yeah, 6 years.
Stealing a coke?
Stealing a coke?
You said what? Stealing what?
Or broke.
Why does the pasuk say that if he... If he stays, he has to.
Then it says we can redeem an army of Ria against his will. The Gemara says, whose will are we talking about? The father's or the master's? The Gemara says, Savit of Lameimar, Rava thought to say, Balkarcha de Odin, against the master's will. Amle Abaya, my new. What are you talking about? Because how did they redeem the girl against their will? They wrote an IOU note to the master. Because the shtar adami, that the father wrote the promissory note for the value. Amai, why should this be done? Knock it by maganisa bidei. A guy holds a pearl in his hand. You're going to give him a piece of pottery. In other words, what is this? If the father has no money, you say you could do it against the will of the master. Right? That's what Rava said. You could do it against the will of the master. So Abai says, what does that mean? If the master doesn't want to fear, the father doesn't have money, what are you going to write, a IOU note? You think the master should give up an amma, a pearl, so to speak, for a piece of pottery? You're giving an empty piece of paper. Abai says like this. Balkorchi da'av. You can redeem the Amma against the will of the father. I mean, even the father says, no, I don't want it back home. I want it to remain in Amma. Not. Why not? Because it's disgraceful to a family. The fact that the father sold his daughter as a slave is disgraceful. So therefore, even though the father doesn't want it, Chacham said for the respect of the family, the covet of the family, you're allowed to do it.
So why didn't they let him sell her in the first time? If it's disgraceful, the second time...
The father wanted to do it. No, because over here we're talking about people, if the family redeems her against the will. Or Rashi says even more, that if the father has money, Beis Din forces the father to redeem her.
Even within the 6 years.
The father says, no, I'm going to keep the money, let her be a slave. It's a blemish of the mishpacha, she has to do it.
Rashi and Taisis
over here. Rashi learns that if the father has money, Beis Din forces the father to redeem it. That's what he means, Bakar Chadav. Taisis learns the father cannot be forced to do it. You force the family to redeem her, even against the will of the father.
But the Beis Din doesn't go so far to say if the father needs money, he still can't sell her. I mean, that's the din of the Torah itself. If he wants to sell her because he needs the money, the Chacham don't say don't do it because it's not a good name for the family.
The Chacham care about the family.
But he needs the money.
Who?
The father.
Doesn't matter, the family can... But he's not getting back any money. He got his money already.
No, I'm talking about Milachat Chila, even the first selling.
Because the Chacham say, if the father, the Torah says, if the father needs the money, he's allowed to do it.
Right. Even though...
But you force the family to do it. So then the Gemara says, then why do we allow the family, why don't we force the family to free an Eved? If you're worried about the family, force the family to free the Eved. Obviously, he's not a cotton. There's no father over here. Right? But the Eved sold himself as a slave, or Beis Din sold himself as a slave. Right? Why didn't you force the family to redeem him? So Gemara says, very simple. What's going to happen if you free the Eved? He's going to sell himself again and make some money. A girl can't be sold twice. Right? But if an Eved sells himself, he's allowed to twice, we learned. Right? So, what's going to happen, Gemara says, let's just see it inside. Let's force the family to redeem him. So Gemara says he can't. Because he's going to go sell himself again. So what are you going to gain by it? So Gemara says, so here by a girl, the father will resell her again. So Gemara says, Hoktan einim keres v'nishnas. We learned that you can't sell a girl twice. So what are you afraid of? The Gemara's not done yet. We're stopping here, but the Gemara's not done yet. The Gemara says, by an Eved, nobody's stopping him. So what are you going to force the family to redeem him? And then the Eved will go. It's a good business. He sells himself as an Eved, gets money. Beis Din forces the family to redeem him with their money. And then he sells himself again and gets more money. Whereas he can't do that. By a girl, she can be sold twice. You don't have the problem.